That they responded immediately and with great consternation is undeniable, as these were primary among those who would forswear and abandon their oaths. The term recreants was not then applied, but has since become a popular title by which this event is named.
From Words of Radiance, chapter 38, page 6. Sabariel shared his carriage with Shallan as they left the king's palace and strode toward his war camp. The High Prince sat across from her, head tilted back against the cushioned wall.
You've changed.
Excuse me?
You look younger. In there, I would have guessed you were 20, maybe 25. But now, I see that you can't be older than 14.
I am 17.
Same difference. I could have sworn your dress was more vibrant before. Your features sharper, prettier. Must have been the light.
Do you always make a habit of insulting the looks of young ladies?
You weren't trained in the court, obviously. I like that. But be careful. Insult the wrong people in this place, and retribution can be swift.
Through the carriage window, Shallan saw that they were finally approaching a war camp flying Sabariel's banner. It bore the glyphs Sebas and Lyle, stylized into a sky eel, deep gold on a black field. They passed taverns, open markets, shops, and tall buildings that surely could hold a dozen different families. People crowded many of the streets. The place wasn't as varied and vibrant as Carbranth had been, but the buildings were of solid wood and stone, constructed up against one another to share support.
Rounded roofs.
My engineers say they repel the winds better. Also, buildings with rounded corners and sides.
So many people.
Almost all permanent residents. I have the most complete force of tailors, artisans, and cooks in the camps. Already, I've set up 12 manufactories, textiles, shoes, ceramics, several mills. I control the glass blowers as well.
From what I've heard, your forces are among the least successful in the war against the Parshendi.
The others hunt quick income from gem hearts. But what will they spend their money on? My textile mills will soon produce uniforms at a much cheaper price than they can be shipped in for. And my farmers will provide food, far more varied than what is supplied through soul casting. I'm growing both lavas and talu, not to mention my hog farms.
You sly eel. While the others fight a war, you've been building an economy.
I've had to be careful. I didn't want them to notice what I was doing at first.
Clever. But why are you telling me?
You'll see it anyway if you're to act as one of my clerks. Besides, the secrecy doesn't matter anymore. The manufactories are now producing, and my armies barely go on a single plateau run a month. I have to pay Dalinar's fines for avoiding them and forcing him to send someone else. But it's worth the cost. Anyway, the smarter High Princes have figured out what I'm up to. The others just think I'm a lazy fool.
And so you're not a lazy fool?
Of course I am! Fighting is too much work. Besides, soldiers die, and that makes me pay out to their families. It's just useless all around. I saw the secret 3 years back. Everyone was moving here, but nobody thought of the place as permanent. Despite the value of those gem hearts, which ensured that Alethkar would always have a presence here.
The carriage eventually pulled up to a modest manor-style home amid the taller tenement buildings. The manor had grounds filled with ornamental shale bark, a flagstone drive, and even some trees. The stately home, while not enormous, had a refined classical design with pillars along the front. It used the row of taller stone buildings behind it as a perfect windbreak.
We probably have a room for you. Maybe in the cellars. Never do seem to have enough space for all of the stuff I'm expected to have. 3 full sets of dining furniture. Bah! As if I'm ever going to have anyone over.
You really don't think highly of the others, do you?
I hate them. But I try to hate everyone. That way, I don't risk leaving out anyone who is particularly deserving. Anyway, here we are. Don't expect me to help you out of the carriage.
A short woman in a fine dress stood on the manor steps, hands on her hips. She had curly dark hair.
From Northern Alethkar, then?
Ah, the bane of my existence. Please try to hold your laughter until we separate. My frail, aging ego can no longer handle the mockery.
Please tell me you didn't kidnap her, Tori.
No, not Alethi at all. For Dazian.
The fingernails, with a rock-like cast to them, proved that. She was dark-eyed, but her fine dress indicated she was not a servant.
Of course. The mistress.
She insisted on coming with me, Pallona. I couldn't dissuade her. We'll have to give her a room or something.
And who is she?
Some foreigner. When she said she wanted to come with me, it seemed to annoy old Dalinar, so I allowed it. What was your name?
Shallan Devar.
Shallan bowed to Pallona. She might be dark-eyed, but she was, apparently, head of this household.
Well, she is polite, which means she probably won't fit in here. I honestly can't believe you brought home a random girl because you thought it would annoy one of the other high princes.
Bah! Woman, you make me the most henpecked man in all of Alethkar.
You aren't in Alethkar.
And I'm not even storming married.
I'm not marrying you, so stop asking. And she's far too young for you.
I used that line already. On Ruthar. It was delightful. He sputtered so much. You could have mistaken him for a storm.
Pallona smiled, then waved him inside.
There's mulled wine in your study.
Food?
You ran the cook-off, remember?
Oh, right. Well, you could have made the food.
As could you.
You're useless, woman. All you do is spend my money. Why do I put up with you again?
Because you love me.
Can't be that. I'm not capable of love. Too much a curmudgeon. Well, do something with the girl.
What really happened, child?
He didn't say anything untrue, but he did leave out a few facts. I have come for the purpose of an arranged marriage to Adolin Colin. I thought staying in the Colin household might leave me too restricted, so I sought other options.
That actually makes it sound like Tori...
Don't call me that!
That the idiot did something politically savvy.
Well, I did kind of bully him into taking me in, and I implied publicly that he was going to give me a very generous stipend.
Too large a one!
Is he standing in there listening?
He's good at skulking. Well, come along, let's get you settled. Make sure you tell me how much he's promised, even by implication for your stipend. I'll make sure it happens.
Pallona led Shallan to a very nice set of rooms in the eastern wing. They were all white and richly furnished, the hard stone walls and floors softened with silk hangings and thick rugs. She hardly deserved such rich decor.
I suppose I shouldn't feel that way. I am betrothed to a prince.
And how many servants have you?
Shallan blinked, turned to Pallona, who was speaking about something.
Excuse me?
Servants. You have your own lady's maid.
I don't. I've got 18 soldiers, though, and 5 slaves.
And they'll be helping you change clothes.
I mean that I'd like them to be housed, if you can manage it.
I can. I can probably even find something productive for them to do. You'll want them paid out of your stipend, I assume your maid as well, which I'll get for you. Food is served at the second bell, noon, and 10th bell. If you want something at other times, ask the kitchens. Cook might swear at you, assuming I can get him to come back this time. We've a storm cistern, so there's usually running water. If you want it warm for a bath, the boys will need an hour or so to heat it.
Running water?
As I said, storm cistern. Each high storm fills it, and the shape of the cistern sifts out the creme. Don't use the system until midday after a high storm or the water will be brown, and you look entirely too eager about this.
Sorry, we didn't have this sort of thing in Yakoved.
Welcome to civilization. I trust you left your club and loincloth at the door. Let me set to finding you a maid.
Pallona?
Yes, child.
Thank you.
Winds know you're not the first stray he's brought home. Some of us even end up staying.
Shallan sat down on the plush white bed and sank almost down to her neck.
What have they made this thing out of? Air and wishes?
It felt luxurious. For the first time in quite a long while, Shallan found herself not fighting for her survival or worrying about being murdered by one of her traveling companions. So, she fell asleep.